we really forget who it is that we belong to and who it is that's made us and what He's made us into. And that's what this series has just been about. It's been about looking at our identity in Christ. And so there's this theme that has run through it the whole way. And it says this, that when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Right? Say that with me. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Right? When you know who you are, you know what to do. I talked about, you know, when I realize who I am as a husband, then I'll know what to do as a husband. When you know who you are as a mother, you'll know what to do as a mother. When you know who it is that you're meant to be, then you'll know what to do out of that. And that's what we've talked about. And we've looked at the fact that we're to be an ambassador. That as a believer in Christ, we're an ambassador of Jesus. That we have a message to tell. It's the greatest message ever. And that we get to tell it. And so we can go out and be able to do that. So make sure that you understand that you are an ambassador. The other piece of that is to understand that you're a masterpiece, that you are created in His image, that you are beautiful inside. You know what? Some of the outside, you know, mine's kind of beat up, and it's not quite as good as it used to be. But you know what? God says I'm a masterpiece, and so I'm beautiful. I'm awesome. I'm made in His image, and we can't ever forget that He did that for you and for me. And if we're all honest in the room, there have been times where we've all forgotten that. And we've let the world just strip that away from us and get us down to where we feel ugly and unuseful and just not who God has made us to be. And so don't forget, you're a masterpiece. And then we talked about being an overcomer. That we can overcome the things that life throws at us. That we are made to be able to do that. And God is there for us to help walk us through that, to overcome things. Last week we talked about that we are salt and that we are light. That we're to bring flavor to this world and that we are to light it up. And when things light up, man, it chases the darkness away. And so we're to be that salt and light for the earth, that we are be able to bring something to this place that is so has become so distasteful and has become so dark, that we're to be something that changes that. And so this series really is about realizing just who you are in Him. And this week we're gonna continue that, and we're gonna wrap it up with realizing that as a follower of Jesus, as someone who's accepting that we are a disciple. And we hear that term a lot and we use it a lot, but we're gonna really talk about what that means. What is that really for us? What does it mean to be a disciple? Let me ask you this question. When I ask you the question, what is a Christian? Think about your answer. What would you say if I said, hey, tell me what a Christian is? Well, what comes to mind when I say Christian? I think for a lot of us, we immediately say, well, I'm a Christian. You know, there's 85% of our country, if I asked, would say it's a Christian. You know, they're Christian. But you read the newspaper, you realize that 85% of our country isn't Christian, if it's the definition that most of us would use for that. See, if you ask most people, it really depends on who you do ask. If you ask some people, they would say, well, a Christian is someone who's loving and caring and compassionate, somebody that's met Jesus and been transformed by Him. You know, that's the kind of the church answer, right? That's what we, you know, if you ask me, I would say it's somebody that's met Jesus, been changed by Him, and that follows Him. But if you ask some people, they might have a different answer. They might say, well, it's somebody who's out of touch with reality. Some person who needs a crutch in life, and so that's a person that has, you know, that's weak-minded, that needs something to hold on to, and so they call themselves a Christian, and they believe in this stuff. Right, this fairy tale. If you ask some people, they would say, well, that's somebody that's loving and forgiving and generous and benevolent. Somebody that's like Christ. That's a pretty good answer. But then if you ask some other people, they would say, oh, those people are judgmental. That they are not compassionate. That they're not known for really being broad-minded. They're very narrow-minded and very legalistic. That's how some people would define Christian. Some people would say, well, those people, Christians, those are the people that are known for what they're against rather than what they're for. And man, they're against everything that's fun. You know, they don't drink, smoke, or chew, or hang out with girls that do. You know, they ruined the whole thing. Those are those people, you know. Some people would say, you know, those Christians, those are the people that are against, who say they love everybody, but they're really and truly, they're against each other. They can't love everybody else because they can't even get along with each other. You know? Done got to meddling now, hadn't I? So I didn't get many amens because it was like, man, you're right, I don't like her. But anyway, so that's where, you know, this thing of being a Christian, it's a very broad thing, and a lot of people have a lot of different answers. But think about what your answer is. And then just hold on to it, and let's work down through what Jesus really said. Because here's the truth. Jesus never asked any of us to be a Christian. He never called anybody to be a Christian. He never said, hey, come be a Christian with me, did he? He never once, there's never recorded in the scriptures of him saying, come be a Christian. In fact, if you really want to know about the term Christian, it started out as a term that mocked people who believed in Jesus. It was really this Christianos, which was little Christ, and it was meant to make fun of the people who believed in him. And we've come now to believe and to use that as a endearment is what we'd like to think, but it's this term that started out that way. Jesus never asked anybody to be a Christian, but he did ask us and ask them in the scriptures to be something else. He called people to be his disciple. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, here's what it says. Jesus was walking along. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. He said, and follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. I love the fact that here's this guy, this tax collector, who would have been somebody nobody liked. Nobody wanted to do either. They were thought to be thieves and just dishonest and all of that. And Jesus looks at this guy and says, hey, come follow me and be my disciple. And what did he do? He got up and he went. He followed him. Right? That's where it is that he says, follow me and be my disciple. Say that with me. Say, be my disciple. There you go. Say it one more time. That's what he said to him. And so he's inviting them to do it. He said, follow me. And say, hey, come be, would you like to be a Christian? Would you like to believe what I believe? Would you like to come to church with me? Would you like to come to Bible study? Would you like to follow these rules? He said, no, would you be my disciple? Would you leave where you are and come follow me? That's what he asked of them. In the Greek, the word disciple is the word matetes. And matetes means a learner, pupil, disciple, follower. It's this word that means so much more than what we have coined and laid out the word Christian to be. It's much deeper than that. It's an action word more than it is a descriptor. It's something that is to be followed. He didn't say, hey, will you be a Christian? He said, no, will you be my student? Will you be my follower? Will you be my pupil? What I want you to do is I want you to come and I want you to live like I live. I want you to love like I love. I want you to do what I do. I want you to understand that this is what I'm requiring of you and asking of you. It's not just to believe what I believe, but to take it further and make it the why you do what you do. To do what I'm doing. He didn't invite us to a belief system or an organization. Well, that's what I think we've made the phrase Christian to be is more of an organization and this kind of club to belong to. But Jesus wasn't saying, listen, I'm asking you to come be my follower, to do what I do and say what I say and know why you do it. He said, come along, follow me, do what I do. And let's live like this. Let's do this. Don't be part of an organization, but be part of a movement. And I think that's where we've lost momentum as believers, is that we've lost momentum because we've focused too much on the organization rather than a way of life, of being this true disciple. And so here's what you need to know. Who do you think you are? If you're a believer in Jesus who has come to a place to recognize that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, that you understand that He came, lived a sinless, perfect life, that He gave His life on a cross to pay the price for your sin, that He sacrificed Himself so that your sin and my sin would be paid for, that you've believed by faith that He did that for you, that not only did He die on a cross, but He was taken off the cross, buried, and on the third day raised again, that not only did He pay for your sins on the cross so that you could be forgiven and made right with God, the one who created you and wants a relationship with you, but now you also understand that He was raised from the dead so that not only are you forgiven here, but you're forgiven for eternity and able to have a relationship with Him for eternity. If that's you, need to understand this is who you are, that you are a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not just a Christian. It's too simple to just say that, but there's more to it. There's this action piece that you're one who lives like Jesus lives, that you love like Jesus loves, that you do what Jesus did when He was here, and that your life's not your own, but it belongs to Him, and that you've surrendered that over to not lose control of everything, but to gain the freedom that comes with trusting and believing in Him. What an amazing thing this is to be a disciple. It's more than just being a Christian. Say this with me. Say, I am a disciple. I am a disciple. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's you. You need to hear it. You need to over and over again. You need to understand it. That is who you are. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Well, here's the thing. Let's look deeper into that. As a disciple of Jesus, there's some things that we do. The first thing is this, that we find and meet, find a need and we meet it. We find a need and we meet it. You're going to find a need. You don't have to look hard, do you? They're all around us. You're going to find a need and you're going to meet it. That's what a disciple of Jesus does. He tells a story in the scripture of a man who was robbed and beaten and stripped of his clothes, naked as could be in the street, left there to bleed and die. And along comes this priest, who would be a good right reverend pastor, I guess. He would walk, and he walks right on by this man laying there in extreme need. Then along comes a Levite who would be like a staff member. That'd be like Austin, who was up here. Austin would come by. He would just walk on by, right? So now the pastors walk by, the worship leader, the staff member, he's walked by and totally ignored this guy. laying there in extreme need. And then along comes a Samaritan. A Samaritan is somebody who in that time would, if this Jewish man laying there in the street would not want him to be the guy to come along and help him. Because they don't like each other. Samaritans were thought to be half-breeds and just undesirables. You know, be like somebody from Montgomery County or something, I don't know. I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist. I love my Montgomery County people. So, be like somebody from Rowan County. How's that? Does that make you all feel better since I'm from there? No, but really, it comes along. Here, this guy comes along, the Samaritan comes along, sees the man in need, and immediately begins to bind up his wounds and try to care for him there, throws him in his F-150, drives him to the nearest inn. And, you know, if he's, you know, I don't know why anybody would drive a Ford, but anyway. So now I've made Montgomery County people. If you're from Montgomery County and you drive a Ford, you really don't like me right now. But anyway, that's okay. That's okay. Huh? That's right. I'm not mentioning that name. So somebody said I need to mention Duke. I'm not going to do it. So anyway, I actually did pull for him because I'm an old school ACC guy. And you know what? That's bad when you got to pull for Duke just to pull for somebody. But anyway, so I did. Anyway, so here's the thing. So you find a need, meet it. Here's a Samaritan, comes by, finds a guy laying there in need of help. He picks him up, takes him to the inn, and we pick up the story here, but in Luke chapter 10, verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So Jesus is telling this parable, this story, to this religious leader. And so he looks at him and says, so you know, which one of those guys, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which one of them really lived out what we should do and what we should live out? And so the guy answered the last, and Jesus says to him in verse 37, he says, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Say that with me. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. That's what we're to do. We're to follow through with this, to not just see a need, but we're to meet it. Think about the last time that you saw a need. What did you do with it? Did you help meet it? Or did you just kind of pass on by? I got to be honest that there's many times where I'm the pastor in the story. Not just I'm a pastor, but I'm the guy that sees the need and is too big a hurry. I got to be somewhere. I got to do something. Somebody needs me. Something's got to be done. So I pass on by. Stinks to think about it. Sometimes Jesus said, go and do likewise. We're to see those needs and to meet them. Maybe it's when we see one on the side of the road. We see somebody pulled over and hood up. Do we stop and ask if we need some help? I know that's hard to do in this day and time. You know, you just never know. But when we know God's telling us to stop and do we do it? If we see somebody struggling to get their bags in their car, you know, an older couple, do we stop and take a moment to go over and help them load their groceries, or do we just kind of wish them well and kind of hop in the car and drive on? What do we do? There was an experiment done at a seminary one day with the seminary students. The professor said, listen, you have 5 minutes to get from here to the lecture hall, and when you get there, we're going to have you preach a message on the Good Samaritan, which is the story that we've been talking about. right? So you've got 5 minutes to get across campus to the lecture hall to preach a message about stopping and seeing a need and helping with it, right? So what the students didn't know, or the professors had planted a guy dressed as a homeless person in the pathway between there where they were and the lecture hall, who was down on the ground crying, you know, in pain and everything else. And so they had put him there, and they had sent these guys to go right by where this man was, where they would literally have to step over him to get where they were going, to preach a message about stopping to help people. How many do you think stopped and helped somebody? 1 out of 10 stopped and helped this man on their way to preach a message about stopping and helping somebody in need. All right? So we all know this story, right? I'm betting that nobody in this room is hearing the story of the Good Samaritan for the first time. But how many times, knowing this story and this what Jesus told us to do, have we passed right on by knowing that we needed to help? I think if we're honest in the room, we've maybe stopped 1 out of 10 times. Just guessing. So I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to help you understand that when you know who you are, you'll know what to do, right? So when you know that you're a disciple, that Jesus says, this is what I want you to do, this is what Jesus did over and over again. He demonstrated this in the scriptures. So if that's what we're supposed to do, why don't we do it? We need to be able to help it. There was time where the disciples were hungry. Jesus built a fire and cooked fish for them and fed them. There's times when people were hungry and Jesus took, you know, little amounts of food and he multiplied it and made sure that that need was met so that everybody ate. Matthew 10:42 says this. Jesus is talking. He says, "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." There's rewards waiting on us for the things that we do. Not that we should do it for the reward, but let me just tell you that when we walk on by, we miss out on the blessings that God has for us. I don't know, you know, because we always say it, that whenever you help somebody else, you end up being more blessed than they are. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I have many times that it ends up being me that really gets blessed by trying to help somebody. And so we miss out on those because we pass on by. We need, as a disciple, to see a need and meet it. As a disciple of Jesus, we need to find a hurt and heal it. That's what we do. As disciples, we find a hurt and we heal it. Matthew 9:35 and says, "And Jesus," this is from the Message paraphrase, says, "Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies." Now I love this last part. It says, "Then he healed their bruised and hurt lives." He ministered to them, not just in their physical infirmities, their physical wounds and pains, but he ministered to their emotional hurts and pains. And listen, most of you walked in pretty healthy today. You know, you're up and at 'em and all of that. So physically, you're probably, for the most part, pretty good. But I bet a lot of you emotionally and mentally and just deep within you are hurt. Those are the wounds that we don't see. Those are the wounds that people walk in and out and right by us, and we never see the effects of that. But as a disciple, we're to find hurts and heal them. Jesus did this over and over and over again. One account is where he comes upon a lady that's been accused of adultery, and everybody else has turned on her. She's made a mistake. And everybody's turned on her. They've got the stones in their hands. They're getting ready to end it for her because of her bad choices. And Jesus comes up and says, "Whoa, wait a minute." And he makes sure they understand, hey, she's not the only one here with a problem. But then he looks at her and he says, "Listen, nobody's here to condemn you. Go and sin no more." In other words, you're forgiven. Go and don't do that anymore. That's a fancy word that we call repent. That means that you change your mind and you go the other direction from where you've been going. So Jesus said, "Go away from that. Don't go back to that." See, he helped heal her hurt because he understood that she made a mistake. I think about Peter. If you know the story of Peter in the scriptures, that Peter, man, made some dumb decisions. I identify with Peter a lot in a lot of ways, you know? And so, but it came to a time where he denied Jesus three times. Jesus told him he would. He knew he was going to do it. Peter's like, "Oh, no. But he did. And so later on, Jesus comes back to him and says, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And he asks him like several times, and he says to him, "Then go feed my sheep." He's telling Peter, like, "Listen, I know you made mistakes. But that was then, this is now. Now I want you to go do what I want you to do, what you know to do. Because now I want to use you, even though you've got that in your past, but I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about where you're going from here." He was taking care of Peter's hurts. We always act like that never bothered Peter that he denied Jesus. I just can't believe that. That he just did it and didn't feel bad about it. That he didn't just kill him inside. I believe it did because of how he felt about Jesus. We've all made those mistakes, but Jesus finds our hurts and he heals them. And you and I are to be a tool, an instrument of that. Making sure that when we come upon people who are hurting, that we're able to be part of the healing, not part of the making it worse. So many of us feel like we're beaten down. We're like that we aren't worthy, that we're not worth anything. But Jesus says, "Listen, I believe in you. You are so valuable that he gave his life for us." You need to understand that if you are feeling, if that's you with the hurts today, that he wants to find the hurt and he wants to heal it. And you and I get to be part of that in people's lives when we live out what Jesus lived in front of us. When we're his disciple, his follower, and we do the things that he wants us to do. We find hurts and heal them, especially with each other. Now, sometimes it's kind of hard because we're like, you know, we're family. You know, family. You know, sometimes the nastiest, you know, fights happen with family. But here's what Jesus says, John 13. He says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, my follower, if you love one another." You gotta love each other. Sometimes that's hard. Because we make mistakes, we do stuff, and you know, but we gotta love each other. Disciples of Jesus are gonna find a need. And we're going to meet it. Disciples of Jesus are going to find hurts and they're going to be part of healing it. And then number three, my favorite point ever, that I just this thought of this, that this is like it. Number three, as a disciple of Jesus, you're going to do a whole bunch of other things that Jesus asked you to do that don't fit neatly into a point on a page. It's just, I couldn't write them all down. There's just too many. So you're just going to get asked to do some stuff that wasn't some neat little point in a message somewhere. That if you're going to truly follow him, be his disciple, and do things the way that Jesus did them, that sometimes you're just going to walk up on something and you're going to have to do something that you know, because you just know that's what you're supposed to do. And we're to do whatever he asks us to do, to live like he lived. to love like he loved, to give like he gave, to do what, those are the things that he's just going to ask us to do. And if we're a true follower, a true disciple of Jesus, we're going to know just that it's just to do. We're going to have to do a lot of things that don't just make a nice little message. Don't make a neat little sermon, but that may not make a neat one on a page, but they make a powerful one in real life. John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep, listen to my voice." When was the last time that you just took time to listen to Jesus' voice? Now, I'm sure it ain't been long since you asked him for something. It ain't been long since I asked him for something. But when was the last time that you just listened, though, after you asked, to what he had to say? "My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." That means, if you get what he says, they listen to my voice and they follow me. If we're real disciples of Jesus, if we're really not just Christians, if we're sold out, if this is who we are, and he says we'll listen to his voice and we'll follow him. I think some of the places that he's taken me, it's kind of crazy. Places I never thought I would ever go, things I thought I would never do. And it's because he told me to go and I did it. I think about, I was in Kenya a couple years ago. I'm sitting in this little bitty, no joke. I mean, like that little drum area right there is maybe the size of their house. And it's this corrugated tin like we used to use for stage decorations. That was what their house was made out of. Doesn't that make you sick to your stomach? Really eats me up sometimes. But they had this little place, and I'm sitting in there thinking about that Jesus brought me all the way across, you know, the Atlantic, and he put me in this place, and I'm here, and I'm sitting in this place thinking about, oh my goodness, what do they need? And I'm thinking they need everything, right? They need a microwave, and they need a big old refrigerator, and they, man, they need a 50-inch TV up in here. And you know what they needed? What they wanted? They wanted a kitchen inside that they didn't have to go outside to cook with. They wanted like things that they could stir their pots with. They wanted, you know, like spoons and stuff. They wanted, you know, I gave the little boy this little Hot Wheels car that I got like, you know, I don't know, hundreds of in boxes somewhere up in my mom and dad's attic that I could care less about. And I gave him one matchbox and it was like I gave him the world. And I'm thinking, man, what an amazing thing that God does when we listen to him and he takes us there. And we get to do things like that. Then we get to be part of just helping them have clean water. Like, what is it that when we listen to his voice and we follow him, what does he take us and what does he show us? You know, he looked at the disciples. He said, "Hey, come follow me." And they didn't have to say, "Well, hey, you know what? Hang on. I'm gonna put my boat on Craigslist, and whenever it sells, and I get what I want for it, I'll come follow you." Oh, hold on. I gotta go draw money out of my 401k, and I'll come follow you. You know, can you? It's snowing today, and I lost an hour of sleep last night. And I'll just listen to the podcast. That's something. See, y'all, that don't get y'all. But y'all thinking, well, that's going to get somebody. Right? So here's the thing. They didn't have to do all that. They just said, you know what, I'm going. And they went. I think about the widow. She came to church, and she didn't have anything to give, but she gave all she had. And she didn't say, well, no. She knew what she was supposed to do, and she did it. I think about people like in our church. I think about like Teresa Bundy, who sees a need in Kenya for people, for a pastor there in his church and all that, who does crazy things. Y'all just don't know the craziness that she does to help these people have the things that they need over there. It's crazy. And why does she do it? It's because Jesus tells her to do it and she does it. I think about Hannah Bundy. If you don't know, she's getting ready to leave in July to go to the Peace Corps. She's going to be in South Africa for 2 years. She don't know where. She don't know who. She don't know any of that stuff, but she just knows that that's what Jesus wants her to do. What is it for you? Because I know, I look around the room, I know there's a bunch of you that have seen needs around here within the church body. You've seen needs within the community, and you've done crazy things to make sure those get taken care of. You see, sometimes we just got to listen to what he says, and we got to do it. It's not going to be something we're going to get awards for. It's not something that everybody's going to know about. It's not stuff that is going to. It's not going to be easy. It's going to stretch us. It's going to be stuff we have never thought about before. But he's going to ask us to do some things, and we got to choose, are we going to listen to his voice or are we not? Because if we're followers, if we say we're a disciple of Jesus, he says we'll know his voice and we'll follow him. See, it kind of takes that Christian thing a little bit further, doesn't it? Because we think if we call ourselves Christian that, well, we're doing all that we can do. I'm telling you that if we're going to be a disciple, he's going to tell you to pack up your bags and move sometimes. I don't mean to scare you with that, but he might ask you to do that. He might ask you to open up your home and let some people come in there and meet for a Bible study so that you can all grow closer to him, so that you know his voice better. He may ask you to go down to Christian Ministries, to the community table, and just cook some soup and serve it, or whatever. He might ask you to go down there and cook some steak that you bought, and you brought. You know, I don't know what it is that he's going to ask you to do, but when he asks you, if you're a follower of him, you're going to hear it, and you're going to follow him. Sometimes it's just going to be that, hey, you know what? I need to walk across the room because there's somebody sitting on the other side who is all alone, who nobody is talking to, and I just need to go over there and say hello to them. That's a novel idea, isn't it? That you would actually know the name of somebody that sits on the other side of the room at church. I don't know what it's going to be for you, but he's going to ask us to do something. And so we're going to have to be willing to do it. If we're a follower of Jesus, then we know his name or know his voice and we do what he asks us to do. I love the story of a little missionary girl who was overseas. She was in a neighborhood that was not clean. It was a nasty place. Smells all around. If you've never been overseas or never been around something like that, I'm telling you, the smells you will smell will enlighten you that you didn't know things could smell like that, really. And so the smells and the sounds and all that, and this little girl is there ministering to this homeless guy who's laying in the gutter, who's bleeding and is hurt, and a wealthy businessman happens to be visiting the missionary and her family and comes by and sees her there, and he says, you know, he's repulsed by the wounds of this man and the fact that this young girl is there caring for him, and he says, you know, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And the little girl looks up and says, you know, I wouldn't do it for $1 million either, but I would do it for Jesus. because he gave everything for me. And you and I, if we're going to be the disciple, the follower of Jesus that we are supposed to do, if we'll realize that's who we are, listen, we'll know what we got to do. And what we got to do isn't always going to fit on the page. It's just going to be part of what he calls us to do. And let's just take it a lot farther. If we know who we are as a church, then we'll know what to do, right? That when we see a need, that as a church we can meet it. There's a ton of needs in our community. We get so wrapped up in our own lives, and I'm telling you, I'm that pastor in the story many, many times. But there are things that need to be done, and maybe as a church we've walked by some of those things. But if we're going to be the church that Jesus wants us to be, if we're going to be the disciples that he wants us to be, then we're going to have to know his voice, and we're going to have to follow him, and we're going to have to do some things that are not going to be the most comfortable. They're not going to be the cleanest and the neatest. I met with a group of pastors this week to talk about the big serve that's coming up in September, where churches come together and they find needs within the community, and they work together to see those things happen. We're going to take a Sunday. We're going to have a really short message in here, like at 9 o'clock in September. We're going to meet at 9 o'clock. We're going to have service. And at 10 o'clock, we're going to be outside. We're going to be headed somewhere to go help somebody do something that they need to have done for them. We're gonna scrape paint off walls. We're gonna mop floors. We're gonna go put quarters in laundromat washing machines. I don't know what we're gonna do, but I'm gonna be listening, and we're gonna do whatever he tells us to do. And we're gonna make an impact, not so people will say, "Oh, look at you are a community church." I don't even know if we'll tell them who we belong to, other than we belong to Jesus. And that we're doing this because of what he's done for us. So maybe today you're here and you hadn't really thought much about what he's done for you. Let me just tell you that he has done for you and for me something that we could never do for ourselves. He's made it possible for us to have a relationship with God that we were meant to have all along. Jesus came, he gave his life on that cross, he paid the price for our sins, and through our belief and trust and faith in him, that he did that for us, when we decide that, you know what, that's what he did for me, and we confess that and proclaim that, then listen, he comes inside of us, he cleanses us, and he makes us whole. And he forgives us. We begin a relationship with him that we were meant to have all along. So today, maybe you're here, you've never made that decision before. Maybe you've made it, but you didn't. You made it more for the show than you did for the change. So maybe today you need to, maybe you really need to just accept Jesus as your Savior. And become his disciple, the one that follows, knows his voice, does what he asks. Maybe today you just need to recommit to that. Man, you've just been living your life passing by. You've been the one walking by the needs that need to be met, and it's just time to confess that and just recommit to meeting as many needs and healing as many hurts as possible. Maybe today there's just something that you need to bring and lay at his feet. I don't know what that looks like for you. But he does, and you do, too. So listen, this small crowd today, that's fine. But we're family. This is a time where we can be comfortable, and if you need to come and pray, then come and pray. You need to come pray with me or pray with Pastor Eddie, just come on. Whatever you need to do today, whatever it is that you need to do to make sure you leave here not the same as you walked in. Maybe that's to pray where you're at. Maybe I don't know what it is. But today I feel like there's just some changes that need to be made in our lives. There's just some things that God wants to do, and he wants some things to be different when we walk out of here. So would you just open yourself up to what it is He wants to do in you? God, thank You today for Your love for us. God, that You loved us enough to send Your Son Jesus to die on that cross for us, God. I pray if someone's here today and they've never accepted it, God, that You would allow the freedom of the Holy Spirit to move through this place, to just press on their heart and let them know that You want that relationship with them. God, for that one that's, or more that's here, that just needs to just come back and just recommit themselves to You, God, I pray that You would just allow them to feel Your presence and know that's what You want from them. God, maybe there's something that we just need to come and pray for. Maybe we just need to come forward and pray now as a church, that on the big serve, God, that You provide the things for us to do. You provide the finances that need to come to meet those needs, that we just need to pray, God, that You reveal exactly where we need to be, and we need to start praying now for the people we're going to interact with today, God. Whatever it is, God, don't let us sit back and just wait for it to be over, God. May we be part of it today. Be part of what You're doing. That's what a disciple does. So God, move. Just move. In Jesus' name, amen.